So the passage that we'll be going through this morning will be in Galatians 5:25, but we're going to read Galatians 5:16-26 for the context. And if you're turning there, it will sound familiar because it's about the fruit of the Spirit. And so as you're turning there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for the freedom and the joy we experience in worshiping you. We thank you for giving us our worship team that through your Holy Spirit, they led us to worship you, the one true God. Thank you for being the good shepherd, bringing us love, joy, peace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being always faithful in our lives, that you are sovereign over all things, greater than anything we could imagine. We ask that our hearts, our minds, our souls be open to your word, that we would take what we've learned and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I don't know if this happens to you, but it happens to me more often than I would like. I'm forgetting something. So, for example, if there's a lot in my mind, I could be like, okay, I got my stuff ready. You know, I locked the door from the inside. I would go outside to my car. I'd, you know, shut the door, and then I realize I don't have my car keys. So then I'd, you know, knock on the door. It's like, yeah, I forgot my car keys. And then, you know, usually my parents are already awake at that time, so all they did do is they would just laugh, and then I would go get the keys. But, or another time would be if, you know, I have a long day. I have it planned. Okay, I have class. And then in that between break, I'll do the homework. And then there's another class. And then between that class and the next one, I'll go to the gym. And then I'll have my final class for the night. And I would prepare my shakes, prepare my lunch, write everything. I'd go to class. I'd do great. Do homework. Yes, successful. All right, go to the next class. Great. Okay, then I'd go to the gym. I pop the trunk. And my gym bag is not there. So I was like, And I was so upset. I went to the near dollar store and I bought clothes just so I could work out. You know? Right? But those are just kind of like small things. See, one of the big things that I forgot and it still haunts me to this day was when I had a test coming up and I forgot the notebook for it. Now the notebook, this is an engineering test, and we had this one page formula sheet where you could customize your formulas, this one page, and it's in my notebook. All my notebooks are black. And so, you know, I grabbed the notebook from home, and then when I got there 10 minutes early, it's like, I'm ready. I looked, and it was the wrong binder. And it's like, oh, no. Okay, it's like, don't panic. Okay, let me go to the computer lab next door, okay? Let me just print out the new one, okay? The printer wasn't working. So it's like, all right, go back to class. All right, I asked my friend, good friend Danny. It's like, hey man, let me just copy as much of the formulas as I can. Obviously, I have 5 minutes left. I couldn't. It's like, ah, and then I couldn't write down everything. And then, so the test happened, but at least I passed the class. So that's right at the end of the semester. But then that's just a minor thing. Even to compared to what we do, you know. And this minor things, how they mess up my day, you know, we do something worse by forgetting the Holy Spirit. See, we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, all three. But how often do we live in the awareness of only the first two? As Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised to send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, so that we could be true living witnesses for Christ. Unfortunately, some in the church today has admired the gift but neglected to open it. In the book Forgotten God, the author Francis Chan contends that we've ignored the Holy Spirit far too long and that we're reaping the disastrous results. So then let's take this morning to learn about the Holy Spirit. So if you're in Galatians 5:16-26, please read along with me. Walking in the Spirit. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the spirit lusts against, for the flesh lusts against the spirits, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So the verse, again, we're studying is Galatians 5:25. I'll read it again. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, looking at the original Greek translations and reading commentaries, verse 25 is better translated as this. Since we have chosen to live this kind of life, which is living in the Spirit, let's make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea on our heads, but to move forward, walking in a straight line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit, working His implications in every detail of our lives. So now that we know the passage, let's move on to what we're covering, right? Like a checklist. That's what I need to make because I keep forgetting things. I should have a checklist. So this is kind of like our checklist. So first we're going to see who the Holy Spirit is and what He does. And we're going to see that the Holy Spirit is God, living water, the comforter, and counselor. And then secondly, we're going to look at why we should walk in the Holy Spirit, and that's to be more Christ-like. Then finally, we're going to see how we should walk in the Spirit, and that's by fellowship with God and other believers. So as you can see, we're covering the who, what, why, and how. See, we do not have blind faith. I'm sure as Christians, at one time or another, someone accused us that our faith is blind, that we're not smart for following God. But that's to the contrary. Following the Lord, walking in the Spirit, is actually the most logical thing we can do. Right? I'm sure that you've taught your kids, or you've been taught, that you shouldn't walk with strangers. So it's the same with the Holy Spirit. So before we walk with the Spirit, let's get to know the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to see, as we go through this, we're just going to have, Scripture prove Scripture, right? The Bible prove itself. So let's move to our first section, which is the deity of the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'm a Star Wars fan, and often in Star Wars they say, may the Force be with you, right? And sometimes we can treat the Holy Spirit as that, like some impersonal thing, some essence in the universe, but the Holy Spirit is not like that, right? The Holy Spirit is a person who can guide us, help us, strengthen us, and teach us the truth of God. So first, we're going to prove that the Holy Spirit has a personality. There in 1 Corinthians 2:10. Go read that. But God has revealed them through us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So, reading this in the NLT, it reads, for a simpler translation, it reads, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirits. And no one can know God's thought except God's own spirit. So as we can see, because they're united as one, the Trinity, the Holy Spirit has divine intelligence. See, the force can't have intelligence. Some impersonal thing can't have intelligence. But the Holy Spirit does. Okay, the next passage will be in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. And this is talking about the gifts of the Spirit, right? Some are made to be teachers, all those things, right? And so this is towards the end of the passage. In verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as He wills. Now, something that is impersonal, something who's just an essence, cannot have a will, right? But the Holy Spirit has a will. And then we can see that the Holy Spirit also has emotion. There in these three passages, first in Isaiah 63:10, I'll read it for you. But they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. So He turned Himself against them as an enemy and fought against them. Okay. And then there in Ephesians 4, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So we can see that the Holy Spirit can be grieved by these two passages. And then in Romans 14, 17, we see that the Holy Spirit can also have joy. So reading Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So now that we're going to see that Holy Spirit is God, right? So we can see that the Holy Spirit is part of the triune God, that He was there from the beginning. There in Genesis 1, verse 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was in the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So we can see that the Holy Spirit was already there, uncreated, just like God the Father and Jesus the Son. So they're already there at the beginning, uncreated. So there are more evidence of the Trinity is there in Matthew 3, 16 to 17. When He was baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon Him. Suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, this is My beloved Son, who I am well pleased. You can see then more evidence of the Trinity there. You can hear God the Father and Jesus, the Son, being baptized in the Holy Spirit on Him as a dove. And then there in Matthew 28:19-20, this is the Great Commission. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So, interestingly there, it says, in the name. So we're not worshiping three gods. We're worshiping only one God. Right? That's what the Trinity is. God is three persons, each person fully God, but there's only one God. Right? And so, to me, how I think about it, it's kind of like, you know, it's not one plus one plus one. Rather, it's one times one times one. You know, so each of it is one, you know, but they're all still one, right? And so, and then understand that there's the Trinity is still mysterious. There's still lots, I'm sure, lots of books about the ministry and the Trinity, but we'll never truly understand because our God is infinite and we're finite. And we have to just be comfortable with having a mystery when we're serving the Lord. And so because the Holy Spirit is God, He also has God's power. So the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. So as you turn there, please turn to Psalm 139. We're going to read it 7 to 10. So omnipresent means the Holy Spirit is literally everywhere, right? And people misuse the word literally, right, a lot. And so this is the one instance where literally actually means literally, right? The Holy Spirit is literally everywhere. So David writes there in Psalm 139, 7 to 10, "Where can I go from your spirits? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." This brings me peace and should bring us all comfort, because God, through the Holy Spirit, is ever present in the time of need or when we're in trouble. He will never abandon us because He is everywhere. See, we know that the Holy Spirit is omniscient. He knows all things, right? As we read in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 to 11, right? How the Holy Spirit shares in God's thought, right? Because they're part of the Trinity. This should bring us peace because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need in our life. See, He has plans to grow us and to prosper us spiritually. And then the Holy Spirit also is omnipotent, which means all-powerful. And so in Luke 1:35, this is when the Lord Jesus was to be conceived through Mary. There the angel was there. There in verse 35, "The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" So we see that the Holy Spirit has the power of the Highest. That means He can triumph over all the trials we are facing and will face. That He is sovereign over the highest mountain and the lowest valley in our lives. So now that we know the Holy Spirit is God, let's move to see that the Holy Spirit is living water. There in John 7, 37 to 39. And I remember this verse because it used to be like the motto of the church I used to go to in Gallup, New Mexico, which is still Calvary Chapel. There in John 7, 37 to 39, the promise of the Holy Spirit. "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' For this he spoke concerning the Spirit, from whom believing in him would receive. From those believing in him would receive. The Holy Spirit has not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." So I did that as a demonstration purpose. So it says, you know, you heard the saying, water is life, right? And so every time you just drink water because you need it for your life, especially, you know, if you're athletic, you need that water, especially when you're working out so you don't pass out. So it's the same for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the living water in our lives, our spiritual life. And it's because of the work of the Spirit, we overflow with the good works. See there in, go back to Galatians 5:22-23. See, it's not because of our might or any of our works, but it's because of the Holy Spirit we produce the fruit of the Spirit. There in Galatians 5:22-23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." So again, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not of our works, that this comes. So now we're going to see that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. See, the Holy Spirit is our strength and our comfort. And we turn to Him when we're in trouble, when we are weak. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We can see this in John 14, 16 to 17. I'll read it for you. "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide in you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. There in that same chapter, just skip down to verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things I said to you. And then there in the same book, just the next chapter, 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So in the Greek translation, the word there, Helper, is actually parakletos, which means comforter. And Paul himself refers to the Holy Spirit as the comforter there in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So now let's see how the Holy Spirit is the counselor. See, we need to make use of God the Father's guidance and letting the Holy Spirit lead us and teach us. So please turn with me to Isaiah 9:6. And so as you're turning there, this is sounds like, you know, one of the Christmas passages that we're going to read. We're also going to read Isaiah 11:2, same book. So as you're turning there, it's a Christmas passage, and maybe you know somebody in your life who's already playing Christmas songs, even though it's still far away from Christmas, you know, they're already playing their Christmas songs. So here's an early Christmas passage for y'all. So there in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of course, this is a prophecy of the coming Jesus Christ. So there also linked with this passage is there in Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Again, this is Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of, right there, counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So we can see in these passages that the Holy Spirit is counselor, right? That he is the Spirit of wisdom. He is the Spirit of wisdom. Okay? And back in the 1990s, when I was still a kid, there was this trend going on, Christian trend, where they had these bracelets, the WWJD, which is What Would Jesus Do? You know, I just did gang signs. This was cool back then, and I didn't really know what it meant at the time. I mean, I know what it meant. I know it's like, what would Jesus do? But I didn't really know in my heart what it meant, right? And so, you know, it was cool to wear around, you know, emphasis on was cool, not anymore cool, right? But it's still a good question to ask ourselves, no matter how, like, corny or cheesy it sounds. You know, on the inside, and you know, we should just ask ourselves when we're doing something, you know, what would Jesus do? You know, ask that to yourself. Don't be out loud. It's like, you know, WWJD, yo. You know, don't do that. Because you'll get that response from people, right? So just, you know, ask that to yourself. So we can see then, so what would Jesus do? Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. There in Luke 4, verse 1, it says, Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So we can see that Jesus himself was led by the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit can also teach us. Okay. And we can see this in John 14, verse 26. And we already read this before, but I'll read it again. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I said to you. So now that we know who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, so now we move on to why we should walk with him. So, see, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make us more Christ-like. And it's an ongoing and daily process. We can see this in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 to 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror of the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And there in Ephesians 4, 21 to 24, since you have heard about Jesus, and this is reading in the NLT, so that it's a simpler translation. Since you have heard about Jesus and have heard and learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitude. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. See, I remember the first time I bathed my dog, Betsy. And right after we released her, she went around and rolled in the dirt. And I don't know if your dogs do that, but that's what my dog did. And, you know, I guess she likes that natural smell, and I don't like that dog stank, so that's why I bathed her. But then we can have a similar thing with our sins, right? Naturally, we're sinners, and we like to enjoy in that mud, right? Our sinful nature, that mud, just like that cute puppy. With the mud, we like to roll around our own sins, right? But the Lord, through His Spirit, has washed us with His blood by dying on the cross. And He clothed us with His righteousness. So let's not go back to the mud of our sins, right? Let's not follow that cute puppy, because we're smarter than that cute puppy, aren't we, right? The Lord created us to be higher than the animals. So let's not follow the cute puppy's example, for we are redeemed. So to resist the urges of our sin, we must daily let the Holy Spirit renew our thoughts, transform us to be like Christ, to walk in the Spirit. See, let's go back to Galatians 5, 16 to 18. So then 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So then how do we walk in the Spirit? So first, we need to have the Holy Spirit within us. So we must be born again. Believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, just as it says in John 3:16. And then that's how we receive the Holy Spirit. And all you have to do is believe. And so if you're not saved today, you know, today is the day. Today is the day you come to Him. There's no reason to wait. So if you're a believer, so this is the next step. We abide in Him, right? Our God, one true God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We see that in John 15, verse 7 to 8. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. See this much fruit? So again, this proves that this fruit of the Spirit doesn't come from us, but it comes from being from abiding in the Lord Jesus, abiding in the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit do their works in us. Okay. And there, so how do we, again, walk in the Spirit? We love the Lord, and we love others. So please turn with me to Matthew 22, verse 37 to verse 40. And so the context of this verse is where the Pharisees were trying to trick Jesus in saying which was the greatest commandment. So Jesus answered to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments hang all the law of the prophets." So how do we walk in the Spirit? We walk in love. So that's the main thing of the fruit of the Spirit, is love. Right? Gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control, all those things are just attributes of love. So if you can love, you can be kind to someone. If you have love, you have that patience, that long suffering. So then how do we love? Right? We have fellowship. We have fellowship with the Lord daily. And we do that by reading the Bible. We do that by praying. And to clarify, praying is just a conversation with the Lord. It's nothing special. There's nothing, you know, you don't need to go on your knees, or you don't need to face a certain direction, right? Because we're called to live our life in continual prayer. So we can't all the time just walk around with our eyes closed. And, you know, you can't be driving and close your eyes and drive and pray, because that's one way to drive yourself into heaven, right? So that's what prayer is. It's just a conversation with the Lord. And the Lord showed us how we should pray there in Matthew, right? The people say it's the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually kind of like a template prayer. And so if you decipher that verse, it's just, that we ask God's will to be done. We ask for forgiveness, we pray for our needs, and then we pray for others' needs. Then so next, the next part of what Jesus said, right? So that's loving the Lord. So the next is loving others, and that's how we love others, is by having fellowship with believers who are strong in the faith. And we see that in Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. I'll read it for you. Let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, as much more as you see the day approaching. And you can see there too in Proverbs 27:17, whenever we meet, we're supposed to be like iron sharpening iron. So please turn with me to Philippians 2:1-4. And the reason we're turning there is because we're actually called to serve others in love. And so that's how we walk in the Spirit. We serve each other in love, right? Again, in love, not because we're obligated to serve one another, but we're doing it because we love. So there in Philippians 2:1-4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the spirits, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others above better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but the interest of others. So let's turn back to Galatians 5. Just a few verses of our passage that we read, actually. There's another example of us being called to love. So there in verses 13 through 14, we see that it says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled with one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's what Jesus said in Matthew 37 through 40, right? That's what he just said in the verse we previously read before. So then in closing, let's remember this, right? The checklist again, because I'm forgetful, right? Let's remember that the Holy Spirit is God. It's part of the triune God, right? Triune meaning three persons, each one fully God. There is only one God. That the Holy Spirit is living water. That the Holy Spirit comforts us and he counsels us. That every day of our lives, we should allow the Holy Spirit to mold us into Christ. For we are free and redeemed, right? Free of our sins, and we're redeemed. And we let us walk in fellowship of the Lord daily, in fellowship with each other, growing spiritually, encouraging others to do the same. Right? Let's be active in our faith. See, the way I see this is that in our life, we're on an escalator. Now, the escalator, it's going down, right? But we are going up. We're going to heaven. We're going up, right? So if we're not active in our faith, the world will drag us down, right? There's that, okay? It'll drag us down even if we're not doing big sins. But if we're not active in our faith, we'll be surprised how far we went down on that escalator. So then every day it needs to be active. We need to be walking up those escalators. And obviously there's going to be resistance. It'll be tiring, right? It's easier to let the escalator just pull you down, right? But we're called to walk in faith, to walk forward. And because it's tiring and because there's resistance, there's no way we could do this on our own. That's why we need the Lord. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why we need Jesus. See, because we can't do it on our own, but we can do it with the power of God. The same power that lives in us, the Holy Spirit. So then let us be the rebels in this world and walk with the Spirit. Walking in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.